We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Can you speak to his job security heading into next season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every coach is in a high-pressured situation. Nick has had a, you know, pretty spectacular first three seasons, and he's shown all the ingredients to have outstanding success. So I'm just looking forward, you know, and there's no coach that's not feeling pressure to perform. That's the way it is in the National Football League. But, I mean, I think Nick is he's got all the ingredients, as I've said, and I'm just really excited about this coming season.
All the ingredients, says Jeff Lurie. Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn. You guys with us. 215-592-9494 is how you hop in on this Wednesday, a day before opening day. All right, big show here lined up today. Kyle Schwarber slated to join us in a little bit later this hour. We'll talk to the Phillies' leadoff hitter. At least he should be the leadoff hitter. We'll talk to him coming up in a little bit. We'll get to a lot of Philly stuff today. Elliot in the show later after being down in Orlando. Phillies tickets to give away for Saturday. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philly. You know what? Everybody's not going to like you. You know, that's okay. Just keep doing what you do.
I like it. Short and simple and sweet. Just do your thing. And
I like you, Hugh.
Yeah, we
I like
you
too, Kyle.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, we're starting off with some... warm and fuzzy start to the show.
Now let's fight.
Now let's argue and yell about sports.
Now let's have a disagreement.
So Jeff Lurie yesterday, we waited for it. We hung out with Ike and with Jack, and we waited for the Jeff Lurie State of the Eagles press conference. And I always usually feel better after these because Jeff Lurie is an excellent owner, and he's been one for a very long time, and the Eagles are in a... very good spot with him leading the team and being in charge of everything that goes on below. But yesterday, Hugh, we all knew what we were waiting for. We were waiting yesterday to see what he said and how he framed the discussion about Nick Sirianni. It's the first time we heard from Jeff Lurie since they decided to retain Nick Sirianni. And Hugh, listening to him talk a little bit about the coach and his decision to keep him and the future, I got to tell you, Hugh, I walked away and I thought something, and I thought about myself. I thought about a lot of what we hear on WIP every day from our fellow hosts, our callers. And I walked away yesterday thinking that, you know what? We have been really critical of Nick Sirianni for the past few months.
He's so soft.
We have. And I think, actually, Hugh, we've been a little bit too critical of Nick Sirianni. Here are facts. And look, he's not my favorite coach. I've made that crystal clear. I think there is concern moving forward about Sirianni. Can he get this thing back on the track? But the reality is, he did have a stretch where he went 31-7.
Yes, and he kept his job.
And the reality is, he did take this team to the playoffs 3 years in a row. The reality is, the talent on defense undid the team, I believe, more than anything else. And that's probably the part of the team Sirianni has the least say in and the least ability to change. It's the talent on defense. They didn't have any. They didn't have good players on defense.
I can't believe I'm surprised that you just
well.
Won, Joe,
I mean,
really.
You know they didn't have enough good players on defense. They did
okay,
not.
Okay, they didn't. But whose job is it to help get good players?
Well, that's Howie. That's Howie.
Well, that's Coach Sirianni.
Yeah, I don't think he has a clue on that side.
Coach Sirianni has to have a clue. And as far as having held his feet held to the fire, Joe, no, I don't think we were too hard on him. I really don't. I think that's his job. He's lucky. He's lucky to still have a job. And that's a fact. And for you to say anything less than holding his feet to the fire, you feel bad for him?
I don't feel bad. I just think
we're kind of, when you say we're being harsh,
well,
it kind of makes me feel
talk about
like
him
that.
As if he has a clown nose on the side.
I mean, because
sideline.
He did some clown stuff. He did clown stuff.
Like what? Fire a defensive coordinator?
He changed the defensive coordinator during the course of the year, and the team got worse. He had no – well, it felt like – see, now listen, I'm not saying that I think Coach Sirianni's a bubblehead, but he did bubblehead stuff. Like, that's just a fact. Like, nobody can sit here and tell me that he did not do bubblehead stuff. Is he a good coach? I think he is, but he did some bubblehead stuff that if it would have been anybody else, he would have gotten fired. If Jeffrey Lurie, Mr. Lurie, didn't show him the type of grace that he showed him, he should have been fired. The fact that they took as long as they did to make a decision on him tells you everything you need to know. He should have been fired, so, but they didn't fire him because they gave him a second chance.
They did.
And good for him. I believe in second chances, man, and sometimes third chances. But he has to get it right. And the fact that he's still the head coach and now it feels like he doesn't have any power, everybody's questioning whether or not they want him to be, you know, instrumental in this offense, that's all validated by the way that he handled his business last year.
It wasn't good at the end. We know that. But the reality is they weren't a very good football team last season. Their point differential says they were 8-9 or 9-18. They did win 11 games. I mean, like, the end was terrible. I would have fired him. I said that when the season ended. I thought they should have got rid of him. We did Sirianni watch for a whole day while the snow was coming down. We were waiting for the news, like when they elect a new pope. I was waiting for the smoke to come out of the Novacare complex. Okay, they didn't do it. I wanted him fired too, but the reality is we have talked about this head coach as if he's clueless for 3 months now, but yet the first 3 years he was here, playoffs, Super Bowl, playoffs. They won 9 games. They won 14 games. They won 11 games. This hasn't been a train wreck with Sirianni as the head coach.
It hasn't been, but he did some bubblehead stuff last year, Joe. He did some bubblehead stuff last year.
But his hands were tied behind his back. The defense was bad.
But whose fault is that? He's the head coach.
No, he has.
He's the culture cultivator.
I could coach the defense as much as Sirianni can. He has no say on that side. That's why they have Fangio. It's why they had Gannon. Howie made mistakes on the defense. Wrong players coming in. And let's be real. I know the Patricia thing didn't work. Sean Desai wasn't doing a bang-up job.
Sean Desai was better.
Yeah, but it wasn't good enough.
But he was better.
They got torched by Sam Howell and Mac Jones.
But Sean Desai was better than Matt Patricia.
By how much?
A lot.
No, not much.
When you look at the way this defense played.
They stunk before
They looked competent, though. They did look competent.
Yeah, but they didn't buy into what Desai was doing. I mean, you have Kevin Byard doing his own scouting
reports.
And
you know why they didn't buy into it? It's because Coach Sirianni, the culture cultivator, didn't do his job and make them buy into it. I have never been a part of a defense or heard anything about, like, if a player didn't buy into what the coach was telling, guess what? More times than not, the player got his butt out of here. So for you to have the kind of culture cultivating that you did that allowed players to second-guess the defensive coordinator and make their own game plans, that's on you.
Yeah, how about the players? Isn't some of this on them? Who the hell are they to do that? Who's Kevin Byard? Kevin Byard's won nothing in his career.
You're not telling me nothing that I haven't thought about. But if the culture cultivator is allowing him to go in there and say that or do that, then that's on him as well.
I just think the coach can only do so much sometimes. I mean, if the defense can't stop anyone, what's the offensive-centric coach going to do? Shrug his shoulders and fire a coordinator.
Like, when I thought of Andy Reid, even though he was an offensive coach, I never thought about him as just the offense. He was the coach, and
Andy's an all-time great.
No, but you got to remember, Joe. I was with Andy when he was a nobody.
But he was an all-time great. We just didn't know
but
it yet.
We didn't know it. That's the point that I'm making. He was still the coach, and he oversaw everything, regardless of if Jim Johnson was our defensive coordinator or not. Andy was the end-all to be-all. Mm. And if I didn't do what Jim Johnson asked me to do, then guess what? My butt was on the sideline. And that's the same thing when you talk about Coach Sirianni. Like, do I think we were too hard on him? Hell no. He should have lost his job. Like, if you're being honest about this situation, he should have been fired. But he wasn't because of everything that he's done in the past.
So I would have fired him because I am concerned he can't get it back on the tracks next year. But, excuse me, based on his resume, I understand why they didn't fire him.
No, I get it too, but he should have been fired. In this league, this zero-sum league, in this what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, the fact that this team collapsed down the stretch the way that it did is a fireable offense.
See, but I think – see, here's why I disagree. I don't even think they were that good the whole time. I just think that the collapse made us realize it. They were a make-believe 10-1. I said it at the time, and everyone got mad at me. I remember we did a show in October. I said, this defense can't win this Super Bowl. Joe's a hater. He hates the Eagles.
No, I have
eyes, and the defense was below standard. It wasn't a Super Bowl defense.
I give you that.
And that's not on Sirianni. Howie messed that up. They had T.J. Edwards. They had Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. It wasn't Sirianni's choice not to re-sign them. He had no clue what they're doing with the front office.
Coach Sirianni's job is to tell the front office what he needs
to
make this team.
No
better.
Way.
Yes, it is.
Hugh, but come on. Let's be real. You think Sirianni has say in the players they
get? Yes.
Not chance.
Yes.
This is a Howie operation.
I think he does. I think he needs to go. Just like, okay, there was a flaw, an obvious flaw in this defense last year, right? Howie went out in free agency because of Nick Sirianni. Say, hey, man, we need some linebackers or Vic Fangio. And they went out and got some guys.
I think you and I have as much say on the defense as Sirianni.
No. Not a chance. He has say on the defense.
No, why would he have say? He's a wide receiver coach.
He's the coach.
No, but he's a manager coach. That was at one point
he's
an offense.
He's a bad manager. If you put him a manager, he's a bad manager.
No, I think he's a very average manager that needs good coordinators around him. 215-592-9494.
I can't you this morning, Joe. I am so
well, because the reality
disappointed
is,
in you today.
Be disappointed in me. That's fine. We've gone too far on the Sirianni thing. This guy is... Do I think he's a top-tier coach? No, I never have.
He did some bubblehead stuff last year,
what was bubblehead?
The fact that he sat there in the meeting was like, hey, I made the decision to put Matt Patricia in there, and then they look like the Keystone Cops.
Do you want him to tell the truth?
Yes.
You want Howie and Jeff came out of my office and said, get rid of that guy.
Now you speculate.
Well, because that's probably what happened. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Lurie yesterday on Sirianni, the decision, what goes into it, why he's still here.
I do know that, until we were hitting that streak of not playing well at the end of the year, we were 31-7 in the previous 38 regular season games. To say the least, that's exceptional. And that's starting with taking a team that has a 4-win season in our final year with Doug and taking it right into a playoff team right away and then into the Super Bowl and then into a 10-1 beginning of this past season. A very disappointing ending, but... I don't take light in 31-7 in the National Football League. That's extraordinary. And so the ingredients that I've always seen with Nick are very obvious. The ability to connect, the ability to be authentic, very hard, incredible work ethic, high football IQ, all the reasons that he was hired in the first place.
Basically, what I heard is we overreacted to the last 6 weeks, and the guys were keeping him. He's not a dope. I mean, that's what I heard Lurie say there. That he didn't say it, but like, hey, everyone's overreacted. This guy's not an idiot. That's what I heard.
Okay,
from that.
Okay. Let's go with that for a while. But he did idiot stuff in those last 6 weeks that make you have this conversation that we're having right now.
Or maybe it was just a bad roster.
No,
I mean, maybe it was.
No, it was.
That defense wasn't bad.
It was him in the way that he missed. Man, we still don't know what happened to the fallout of this.
But I'm just looking at what happened
care,
on the field.
Don't say you don't care.
But
we still ain't got those.
The results are the results. They won 11 football games. What I would deem an average kind of team, a little slightly above average.
So you just gonna poo-poo the fact that this man didn't know how to act on the sideline, acted like a petulant child at times.
Hugh, I hate that stuff.
And then you want to sit and say, oh, maybe we were too hard on him. Everything that we criticized him for, he brought upon himself by his actions and some of the things he did towards the end of the season.
I hate that stuff.
Do I like Coach Sirianni? Yes, I do. But to sit here and say that, oh, you was too hard on him. No, everything that you did, bro, you did. It came down on you because of the way you acted towards the end.
Well, I don't think it was because how he acted. They couldn't stop a nosebleed on defense. How is that because of his dumb nodding on the sideline?
Okay, I apologize. You're right. I was wrong for saying it that way. From the way you coached down the stretch.
Okay. Yeah.
From the way that you coached
down
the stretch.
It's fair. 215-592-9494. Have we been too critical? Have we gone a little too far the last few months on Sirianni? That's what I felt from Lurie yesterday, and I think he's right. Mike in Douglasville. What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Mike. What's up?
Yeah. So I'm 100% on board with that. We've been too hard on him. Now, don't get me wrong. Do I leave his press conferences more confused than with answers? Absolutely.
Yes.
Does he do things that makes me scratch my head and look at him sideways? Absolutely. But does he say something in that locker room that seems to work for these guys? Yeah. I mean, he does. I mean, I'm listening. I work from like 4:30 in the morning to say like 4:30 at night. So I get a wide spectrum of listening to all you guys. I'm driving into work, and I got to listen to John Johnson be like, oh, Nick Sirianni doesn't have any say on the offense, or Kellen Moore has more authority than he does, and it's a bunch of crap. Like, guys, he is the head freaking coach of a football team. If you look over the past three seasons, now, just the past three seasons, not whole career, who's had more success in the NFL, Mike Tomlin or Nick Sirianni?
Last 3 years, it's Sirianni.
Well, Sirianni because of the Super Bowl.
Now, do you ever hear, obviously we're in Philly, but we're close to Pittsburgh. Do you ever hear anybody ask Mike Tomlin, what do you do here? No. And granted, yes, he does have a longer track record of success, but they're the same style of coach. They are the CEO coach. They have their say in, you know, the offense and the defense. If you look back to last year, you got
Brian Johnson. Yep.
Jalen Hurts is coming out saying, you know, we wanted this offense to be a little bit more, it didn't evolve the way he wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're sitting there and you're hearing that, Nick Sirianni flat out saying, I'm the CEO and the coach. The offense is Brian Johnson just as much as the defense was, you know, Matt Patricia or
Sean Desai.
Yeah, Sean Desai. So when you're sitting there looking at it, it's like, hey, not a problem. You're good. Sorry, guys. I had a customer.
I like how you call that work and you're multitasking.
I love it, yeah.
That's a baller move right there. That's pretty baller right there.
Hey, got to multitask sometimes, you know, right? But, yeah, when you're sitting here looking at a CEO head coach, how can you sit there and, you know, blame just the CEO head coach? It was Brian Johnson and it was Sean Desai and Matt Patricia and all the nonsense that happened in that locker room, whether it was, you know, Matt Patricia trying to teach somebody else's defense or then try to install his own defense. No wonder there was so much confusion.
Yeah, there was a lot. And Mike, you're right, man. We appreciate you calling and listening, of course, all day. And how about that at work? I guess we're trying to multitask, too, here.
Yeah, we are trying to multitask.
We're doing the best we can. All right, here's the thing. When they've had good coordinators, they had it in 2022, they won with Sirianni. We hope they have good coordinators. We think they do in 24. Hopefully they can win with Sirianni. I don't think the guy is a great coach. I'm not putting him in Canton. 2 months ago, I sat here and said, they got to fire this guy. But the reality is we've been very, very critical as a city, as a fan base, of a coach that at one point went 31-7 over 38 NFL games. That coach in a Super Bowl, I think we've been overcritical. Hugh says no. It is totally fair. All right, 215-592-9494. Have we been overly critical of Nick Sirianni as a fan base? We'll get to all your phone calls coming up here. We got to let you hear what Sirianni told Howard Eskin about how he's feeling heading into next season. We'll play it next. Plus, big guest today coming up in about 20 minutes. Kyle Schwarber will join the show. Phillies DH Schwarber joins us. Keep it locked in. 2-1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I asked Nick if he feels any pressure knowing that, you know, that all the noise and, you know, it's coming off at the end of last season. And I said, if you tell me and you don't want me to say anything, I just won't say anything. He says, no, I want it on the record. I feel no pressure. I'm just going to go out there and coach. I'm not going to listen to the noise and I'm not going to feel the pressure. Because to me, it's what I do within the team and not what other people say about the team. So it's kind of an interesting way. And I said, you sure you want me to say that? And he says, yep.
No pressure, Nick Sirianni says. At least he told Howard Eskin that. Feeling no pressure heading into 2024. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Well, that this is one area where, Hugh, I will push back a little bit. He absolutely should feel pressure.
He should.
Of course he should.
Because he blew it. He blew it last year.
Let's be real. And I said this to Howard yesterday. If the Eagles struggle this season, if the Eagles miss the postseason, he's not the coach here in 2025.
No, he can't be.
No, I mean, there's just no way. So, yes, yeah, Sirianni should feel pressure. But as far as the way we've reacted to Sirianni, I think we've been too critical. 215-592-9494.
It tickles me when you say that.
Well, I mean, I'm part of it. I've been too critical, but I think a lot have. I mean, I'm not the only one. It's not like I'm the only one sitting here for 3 months saying this guy, you know, he might not be the greatest coach. I mean, most people now feel that way. I feel like we've gone to probably a level too far, and I think we've been too critical. Kyle Schwarber joining the show coming up in a little bit here. We got Phillies tickets to give away as well for Saturday night against the Rays. Kyle, before we go back to the phone lines here, what are you feeling on Nick? Have we been a little bit too critical?
I think so. I feel the same way about, I think I said this like a month ago when we talked about this, about the end of the season, that we overreacted a little bit to how the season ended. Now, in the moment, I thought the reaction was perfectly appropriate. We were watching our team fall apart, and it was disgusting. It was appalling. But the way that we talk about everything like after and how we project toward the future has been a massive, massive overreaction. Like, people talk about Nick Sirianni like he's Josh McDaniel, or like he has no idea what the hell he's doing. Like, the what do you do here questions, I have one answer. Win a lot of football games. He has.
That should have been the answer.
It should have been.
That, like, would have been a strong, like, hey, I've had a lot of success.
Yeah, excuse me. Like, yeah, like, I've won a lot of football games. I took this team to a Super Bowl. That's what I do around here. That is what he does around here. And while the collapse was awful, maybe, just maybe, Hugh, it wasn't entirely Nick Sirianni's fault.
Man, listen, I'm surprised at you, Kyle. I'm disappointed in you as well. Because I feel like this is how I feel. Okay, like I said, I like Coach Sirianni. I think he's a good coach. But being a good coach, you also have to exude confidence. You have to do that. There hasn't been a press conference since we've been trying to figure out what the hell went wrong with this team, where he sat there in front of any, and if sat there in front of the mic and said anything that made any of us feel confident.
I don't give a shit.
I'll tell you what. The fact that Jeffrey Lurie, Mr. Lurie, got up there and spoke gave me way more confidence in this team and the decision that he made than the coach actually did anytime he spoke this season.
Well, he's bad at these.
Yeah. Well, that's because
so he needs to do a better job.
But that doesn't win and lose games. That doesn't win and lose games, press conferences.
And the comparison to Coach Tomlin, when Coach Tomlin speaks, as bad as his team has been, and they haven't been to the they've been to the playoffs and they've had winning seasons, but they haven't had the success that Coach Sirianni's had. He's a better communicator.
Totally.
Than Coach Sirianni.
But this isn't a public speaking class.
But
it's football.
But it kind of is, though, because your Joe, before you start here, your coach, your team mirrors your coach.
And but they got to the Super Bowl with him.
Okay, but they didn't get to the Super Bowl last year.
I think we have gone too far with the Sirianni thing. Maybe
I don't think you're going far enough.
Can I interest you in this? Maybe the roster wasn't very good. Yes, it wasn't.
They had players on the field that stunk. The roster was garbage. Okay.
Then what is he supposed to do?
But the offense was the offense. When you look at this offense, it should have been a lot better than it was.
Can I just add one?
So much better than it was.
Hold on. Maybe this is what the offense is with the quarterback.
No.
Why?
I refuse to believe that. But hold on.
Forget the coach. Did Jalen Hurts play like a great quarterback last year?
He had his moments early on. He was part of the MVP conversation early in the season.
If you don't have a great quarterback,
so we're back on Fugazi.
If you don't have your quarterback playing great, it's very hard to score a lot of points. I mean, that's just the NFL.
The quarterback was playing great. He was playing good.
But that's not great. Good is not great.
And whose job is it to help him play better?
It's the coach's.
So Coach Bubblehead, he was a bubblehead.
Well, or maybe
towards
the quarterback just isn't quite as good as we think.
See, I like, because see, now we're kind of moving the line a little bit with Coach Sirianni. Like, he deserves as much blame as Jalen does in this situation, in my humble opinion.
We talk about him, though, as if they went 7-10 or 6-11.
We do, because
they went 11-6.
You know why we do that, Joe?
Why?
Because he did go to the Super Bowl the year before, and the standard was high coming into the season.
Yeah, but they were easily about to take a step back. I tried to tell everyone.
Just add one thing here to your point, Hugh, about the coaches and the quarterback?
Yes.
If you trust the Eagles, which I do, right? You might not, but I do. They told us what they think was the issue last year by firing both coordinators and bringing Nick Sirianni back. Like, here's the thing. If Sirianni, if they fell apart because Sirianni was stubborn and he just kept status quo the whole season, that'd be one thing. He tried to fire the defensive coordinator. Now, granted, it didn't work, to quote Jeffrey Lurie.
But that was a great quote.
That was a great one.
What do you think? Well, it didn't work.
But he did. I mean, Sirianni went and tried to fix it. Like, we have seen him before correct this thing to where they started 2-5. He made a move, and it did work. Like, I feel like this is the chance to, like, we have to give him this chance to correct it again, because I feel like the collapse was just out of his hands.
I totally agree with everything that you're saying. What I do not agree with us saying, well, you know, we were pretty too hard on
Coach
Sirianni.
Yeah, too critical.
Forget that. That's his job to make this team better. And if when it fell apart on his watch. So that's why I look at it and say, hey, man, you get no quarter from me, because it's your job as the culture cultivator and the head coach to go out there and make sure you have everything that you need to have the success that for the bar that you raise, and you need to get it done.
I hear you, but he's a head coach, not a magician. All right, Jeff in Wilmington is up. Hey, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Jeff, what are you feeling today?
I'm with you. Joe, you said something earlier about, you know, he won the 10 games leading up to the collapse, and that's something – that says something about keeping his job. But in my opinion, they didn't really play that well in those 10 games. And the guy just doesn't, he just doesn't have, everything is like crazy around. Like, he acts like a fool on the sidelines. The team was undisciplined at the end of the year. And that goes on the head coach. And he should have been fired because of that whole season, not just because of the 6 games that they lost at the end, or the 5 games, or whatever.
But maybe Jeff, they weren't. They realized they just weren't that good, especially on defense.
Right.
I mean, they were a bottom tier defensive team for most of the year. I mean, that's just the reality of it. The offense was high, and then it fell down. That's concerning. But the defense was just not good the whole season, really.
That offense should have been scoring 35 points a game in their sleep with that talent, and he couldn't get that. He couldn't make that happen. Yeah, they fired the offensive coordinator at the end of the season. But I'm sorry, but if you're the head coach, and what got me was that time when he said, yeah, well, I might stick my head. When they asked him about what does he do, and he says, you know, I might stick my head in the defensive meeting or the offensive meeting or whatever. I'm like, stick your head in there, dude. You're supposed to be running this team. You're not supposed to be worried. You're not supposed to be checking in on the guys and saying, hey, how's everybody doing, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't know. Look, they keep him around because he's more controllable than if you got a guy that had 20 years of coaching experience.
Well, Jeff, you're probably right on that. I mean, I don't disagree that they want someone that's kind of a manager.
And that's been their formula for the last – since they got rid of Andy.
Well, especially since Chip, right? Because Chip got the power, and I think they never want that. Jeff, I think you're right. I mean, if we're going through the reasons why they kept him, it's probably that they like the setup. But Jeff, we appreciate the call. I just want to point something out, though, because Jeff said – they should have been scoring 35 points per game.
Should have been.
No way. No.
Should have been.
No.
Yes, they should have been.
I don't think we realize how many points 35 points per game is.
That's a lot of points, but I'd say 30, not 30.
Okay. Well, 30.
High-powered offense.
30, I think, is more of a fair number. I'm just going to give you the teams in NFL history that have scored 30 since in the Super Bowl era, okay? Super Bowl era, 35 points a game in the NFL. I'm just going to tell you the teams, and then we'll just say who their quarterbacks were. Denver Broncos 2013, Peyton Manning. 2007 Patriots, Tom Brady. 2018 Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. 2011 Packers, Aaron Rodgers. 4 of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time. Guys, Jalen's not that. I mean, what are we expecting here? I mean, I want more points too. I do think, Hugh, they should be a better offense. I agree with you. But we have this expectation that they're going to score like they have an all-time quarterback.
Yeah,
they don't.
He started out that way, Joe.
No, not all time.
When you look at the talent that we have amassed. Now there is some speculation about Jalen. No question about that. And I'm not trying to put him on the tier of the quarterbacks that you just named. But when you look at the offense that we put around him, then that doesn't seem like that's far-fetched. That's where I think people are with this. Yes, is there some question marks about Jalen? Of course there are. But when you look at A.J. Brown, Skinny Batman, Dallas Goedert, and DeAndre Swift in that offense, it's not far-fetched, even though it's not probably realistic for Eagles fans to think that any game that we went into last year, even though we were playing a tougher schedule, that we were going to be up at the half.
Sure, yeah.
And the defense, and a lot of times we were. And to that, to your point about the defense, was there a devoid of talent? Yes, there was. And a lot of that talent was masked because of the fact that we were scoring a lot of points. But that's the way that the team was built. The team was built, and the team is being built to score more points. So no matter how much, we got a whole bunch of higher guns on the side of the defense, kind of like we had last year. So the formula is not changing. The fact of the matter is they're doubling down on what we already know what the formula is, and that's putting more people on the offensive side of the ball to try to score more points.
Yeah, and they need to be better offensively. I mean, it's why Kellen Moore's here. I mean, I think we certainly all believe that. 215-592-9494. Kyle Schwarber slated to join us in just a few minutes. We'll talk some Phil's, a new thing Kyle's doing here with the Yards Brewing Company that we got to tell you about, which is something you all could get involved in. We all could get involved in. It's pretty awesome as the season starts tomorrow. That's coming up, and we'll talk to Kyle, of course, about the season and the guys getting ready to play the Braves tomorrow at Citizens Bank Park. Bill is up on WIP. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Bill. What's up?
All right, listen, I'm with you. I'm with you. Should have got rid of him. Because in my little football mind, a head coach is supposed to know how to coach offense, defense, special teams, everything. Just like a football player is supposed to know how to play every position on a football field. And he didn't be the head coach and say, "Yo, my defense is getting burnt. I got to take it over."
But Bill, that's not the reality of the NFL anymore. Sean McVay has talked openly about like the defensive coordinators. Like, he's the head coach of the defense. Like, I hire him. Shanahan does the same thing. Like, Doug Peterson didn't do that, Bill. Jim Schwartz was the head coach of the defense.
But the guy's not doing his job. So if he's not doing his job, I'm looking at him like, "Yo, if you don't do it, I'm gonna do it." And that's being the head coach. That's all I'm saying.
Bill, I hear you, and I would rather that too, Bill. But that, I think those days are over in the NFL. It doesn't feel like they need to come back.
They need to come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they need to come back. He has to take. He should have said, "Yo, I got to take accountability," or just admit that, "Yo, the last dude, Gannon, and the other offensive coordinator was the ones who propelled us to having this Super Bowl season." And I'm still not bored on Hurts neither. He's got to prove his value to us also.
Well, that's for sure. I mean, Bill, that's for sure. Yeah. He's got to be – and we appreciate the call, man. He's got to be better next year. There's no question about that. It's just – look, did Sirianni do a good enough job last season? Obviously not. The team collapsed, and they meekly went out at the end of the season. I was critical of him at many times. I thought he got outcoached by better coaches. I thought he didn't adjust. The decision to play the starters on the MetLife turf, I thought it was silly before it even happened. And then A.J. Brown got hurt, so he made a lot of mistakes. It just feels like we've put it all on Sirianni. Like it does feel that way. Like, we've let Howie off the hook for making mistakes on the defense. A lot of people want to defend Jalen at every turn. Like, the players stunk it up.
No, it's
all on Sirianni, it feels like.
I lay the blame. I know for a fact that there's a lot of blame to disperse on this team. But to sit and say, "Well, we were too hard on Coach Sirianni." No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that because of his relationship with management, that's the only reason why his job was saved. This team had an epic collapse like none that has ever been seen in the NFL on your watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that he's done a lot of great things in the NFL for a young coach. And I also understand that that's the reason why he got grace in this situation, because he's a young coach and he's still learning as he goes. And he's probably going to learn a lot from this mistake that he's made. But to sit here and say, "Oh, well," and I'm not saying you're saying it like this, but to say, "Oh, we were a little too hard on him," hells no. Hell no. Because every facet of this football team, regardless if you're watching it or not, you need to know. Like, the one thing that I remember about Coach Reed was everything that went on with his football team, from the time you were in the building to the time that you left the building and you went home and did whatever you did, he knew. He knew that. So much so that he would tell a certain guy, "Hey, man, you probably need to slow down hanging out at night or burning the candle at both ends," or whatever it is. That's what good football coaches do. And you know what else they also do, Joe, is they also, whenever things are going wrong, they have a way of calming everybody. Coach Sirianni didn't do that. The fact that I'm a big believer in, your team follows your coach. And a lot of times when coaches speak, the message is concise throughout the whole program.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that way.
No, it did feel that way.
It wasn't that way because you know why? Because to me, outside looking in, he didn't do a good job of setting the culture that he's supposed to set. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah, they lost their way. I mean,
because you got one guy, he would say this in a press conference. He would say whatever, the offense, da-da-da-da-da, yada-yada. Then you have players saying, well, hey, it wasn't that, and all this other stuff. So the message wasn't clear and concise. Somewhere along the line, from the time he spoke until the time that the players tried to relay the message, it was lost in translation.
Something was. I mean, Hugh, I agree with that. Something was lost. Things changed. It went bad. But this is what I wrestle with in my brain. I didn't think they were great before the collapse, so it's tough for me to say, man, it really fell apart. Now they went from winning to losing. All right, we'll get back to all the Eagles conversation in just minutes. We got a special guest right now joining us to chat about, well, a big day tomorrow, opening day, and his partnership with Yards Brewery and the Philly Standard Beer. Joining us right now, Philly's designated hitter, and we think leadoff hitter once again, Kyle Schwarber. Good morning, Kyle. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Schwarber, you know, I got to ask you, man, and I think I can ask you this because we're from Ohio. A lot, every day on this show, we get a phone call about you leading off. In the last two seasons, you've hit 83 bombs, and I think that you should be the leadoff. But tell me, why do you feel like you should be the leadoff hitter?
Well, that's not my job. So I'm player number 12, and wherever I get roped to line up, I'm gonna go out there and hit. But I've always said that I've hit 1 through 9 in the lineup before, and done that in one season. So I don't know if that's something to be proud of or not. But wherever I get roped in the lineup, that's where we're gonna be. This is bigger than personal status. Whatever it is, we're trying to go out here and we're trying to do something special for the city, and that's what a championship. Wherever Thoms thinks that we're all best suited, that's where we're going to be at the end of the day.
Kyle, you mentioned they're trying to do something special and win a World Series. So we were down at spring training last week. We got to talk to some of your teammates, and we talked about that goal of yours and how much it's kind of talked about, how much it's just understood. Kyle, you've done this before. A lot of your teammates here haven't. You guys have gotten close together, this particular group. But what is that like, that journey? Because you went on it with that Cubs team and then trying to do it. You had a season in 2016 where everyone kind of thought you could and might win the World Series. Is it something that's in your head every day? Do you try to just stay day by day? What is it like heading into a season, Kyle, where you know everyone in the city thinks they should win the World Series?
Yeah, I think expectations are a good thing. And, that means that, you're going out there, you're trying to have success, and you're trying to reach an end goal. And, we've been close the last few years, and, we've kind of, we cracked that stigma of, okay, being in the playoffs, and, but now, we want to make it to the playoffs, and we want to reach it to that position where we're holding the trophy up at the end of the year. And like I've said this before, it's just, it's not guaranteed by any means. It's not guaranteed that you can make the playoffs. It's a long season. There's so many things that can happen throughout the course of a year. But the way that we're built, we got great players, and I think that attributes the ownership, where they expect us to win, and the city wants us to win, and you go from front office, manager, coaching staff, players, we all want to win. And that makes it for a fun work environment every day to come in into the field. So, our mindset's there. It's going to be day one, and, we're going to have goals along the way that we want to accomplish. We want to win the division, but at the end of the day, you got to find a way in and try to put ourselves in a really good position and try to make it to the end.
So speaking of day one, so you guys, is it safe to say that you guys have talked about trying to get off to a quick start and not have that slow start like you had last year?
I don't think that you talk to anyone in the clubhouse that, that would go out there trying to start slow. It's just one of those things that, it happens, and we're out there, whenever we step out on that field and cross out those lines, we're expecting ourselves to win a baseball game. We're not going out there. Mm-hmm. There's never a day in 162 games that we're going out there thinking, man, this is a loss. You know what I mean? There's just never a day. And there's going to be days that you have a good win, a bad loss, they beat us, or a bad win, right? Like, it's just how it goes throughout the course of the year. So, you know, if we can get off to a better start, I think it's going to help us out. But also, too, you know, like we said, and it's, you know, the last 2 years, we've gotten off to that slow start, and we found a way in there. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's just us going out there trying to find a way in there. But, yeah, you know, definitely think that, do we want to get off to a better start? Absolutely.
Phillies designated hitter, outfielder Kyle Schwarber with us. Kyle, tomorrow opening day against the Braves. What's that like for you, opening day? I feel it's such a different day. I mean, Kyle, you've been through a lot of these. Probably 8 or 9 now, all the rounds of the playoffs. But is opening day different? Do you still get those butterflies when you see the crowd on opening day?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's just one of those things, right, that, you know, it's just you always show up to the ballpark. You know, you go into the ballpark and you don't sleep well the night before because you got all the jitters, and you know that the bank's going to be packed, and you know, you're excited to get back in front of your fan base, and you know, we're excited to start the year. And it kind of feels like that, you know, it gives you that first sense of the playoff, right? Because you're back, everyone's excited, and you know, obviously we're going to be playing a great team, and you know, it's just a lot of fun. It's just one of those things. It's kind of like I'm trying to think of a great way to word it, but it's hard for me. It's just like Christmas every day. You know, everyone looks forward to Christmas. Everyone looks forward to opening day. And, you know, it gives you that goosebumps, the goosebumps every single time, and then it starts the journey.
Yeah, it's like that Christmas Eve feeling tonight as we get ready for the Santa to be there.
It kind of is like Christmas.
It is. It is. For us baseball fans, it is. All right, Kyle, so tell us about your partnership with Yards. Everyone knows, you know, you've partnered with them in the Philly Standard beer, but this is a pretty cool partnership this year because this season when you go Yard, beer's on Kyle. So if people download the app, they could find where in the area they could go to get a complimentary Philly Standard beer. So every home run you hit, that's free Philly Standard beer for everyone out there. So tell us about it and why you're partnering with Yards here.
Yeah, you know what? Being able to been with Yards last and going into this year as well, you know, it's the hometown beer, it's the Philly beer, it's the tailgating beer, and you know, the more that I can be involved in, you know, obviously the city, and this is a way just to be able to connect and you know, hopefully have a lot of people have a good time, obviously responsibly having fun, but. You know, hopefully, you know, the more that, you know, we can get people and get them in the yards and helping out, you know, being in a local business and attaching it to, you know, some homers, I think it's all great. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, trying to just be in the community and, you know, helping out a local, you know, getting everyone there locally. So I think it's a great thing. And, yeah, you know what? We've got to hit some homers and get some free beer out there.
Well, it's a great company, great people down there, and it's really exciting for us. So you download the Yards Brewing app. You can find the participating bars. 46 homers 2022, 47 last year.
Beers, man.
I'm predicting 50 this year, Kyle, so no pressure, but I'm thinking 50 this year. Kyle, last one for you, and we'll let you go. We know you're busy getting ready for tomorrow. Could you just take us inside what it's like to hit a home run at Citizens Bank Park in the postseason? I was watching some highlights this morning of last October, and there's just something about that place when this thing gets revved up and you guys are back in October. What is it like inside that building when you hit a big fly in October?
Yeah, man, you know, there's nothing really like it. I mean, you know, you talk about when you walk out to the field for opening day and, you know, you see the fans, then obviously you get the postseason and everything just turned up an extra notch. Just, you know, every game is, you know, means just as much as, you know, the game before, the next game. You know, that day matters because it could decide if we're going to move on or not. So, you know, stepping into the ballpark, you get this extra butterflies, extra goosebumps. But, you know, the sense of, you know, you hear how crazy it is, and it's funny how you just step into the box and all kind of just goes quiet. And then, you know, say if you do run into one and it heads out of the park, and, you know, don't realize how loud it is probably until you're, like, at, like, second base. And you're kind of just looking around, and you see the whole place jumping. And you're like, oh, man, this is what it's about. This is what you play for. You know, this is the fan base you want to play for every single day. And, yeah, it never gets old. And, you know, I would say that we're really lucky as players to have a fan base like that who rides with us like that to the end. And we're looking forward to, you know, hopefully getting back there and having a lot of great more moments out there.
Well, we are too. Kyle, man, we appreciate you hopping on. Good luck with everything this season. We'll be watching. We'll be cheering. And we'll see you down at the park tomorrow. Thank you, Kyle.
Appreciate it, guys.
Have a good one.
There he goes. Kyle Schwarber there with Yards. So download the Yards Brewing app. When he goes yard, beers on Kyle. All right, we appreciate Kyle Schwarber joining us there. We'll come back with all your phone calls on the Sirianni stuff. And we'll talk some Phillies. Plus, Phillies tickets for Saturday against the Braves. All next on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 9.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.